Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Dino Ciccatello.
Well, this morning, I'm really excited about the word God's placed in my heart, and we're going to be tackling the book and unpacking the book called Hosea. It's in the Old Testament, Hosea. We're kicking it old school today, and we're just going to be taking a look at an overview of what the book of Hosea has to say about you and what the book of Hosea has to say about me. Now, the book of Hosea is actually a great summary of your life and my life. It's really the story of humanity, and the reason being is because it's about a man, a faithful man who God speaks to, and he speaks to this man, Hosea, and he says, I want you, this faithful man, to go marry this unfaithful woman. And Hosea is actually a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And so what the Bible's trying to teach us in this book, I'm going to give it to you right up front so you know what we're going, you know where we're landing, you know what we're talking about, is actually saying that Jesus is like this faithful man who's kept himself. Nowhere in the book of Hosea is it ever recorded Hosea sinning. And this faithful man now chooses to marry this unfaithful person, and that's really the picture of a faithful God marrying and coming in covenant with an unfaithful people. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so we're going to tackle it. It's probably good to start in the first chapter because that's where you start a story, in the first chapter. Just learning a lot of stuff today. Captain Obvious over here. Okay, here we go. We're in Hosea chapter 1 from verse 2. It says, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry this promiscuous woman. Some of you don't receive that now, I'm just saying. Go marry this promiscuous woman. Matthew was like, amen in the first service. I said, what? So just pray for our staff members, our junior pastor over here. Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. I want you to know something off the bat, from the outset. The Bible says, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea. It doesn't say if the Lord began to speak through Hosea, it's when. How many people know that God is always speaking? The difference is, are we listening? It says in Job 33, verse 14, it says, God speaks again and again, but though people do not recognize it. That means God's always speaking, but are we listening? Jesus taught us this way. He said, the sheep will know the voice of the shepherd. We need to tune our ears in, not to the voice of a stranger, but to the voice of our Savior. We need to listen. He's always speaking, but are we listening? The Bible says that, lean not on your own understanding in Proverbs, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and He will straighten your paths. Said He will straighten your paths for you. Now, we all want straight paths, but we aren't able to acknowledge the Lord because we don't recognize His voice. And the only way that you recognize someone's voice is when you spend time with them. Isn't that true? So we know that Hosea spent time with God because we see that when God spoke, Hosea listened. I want to encourage you. You actually get to know someone's voice when you spend more time with them. And the way that you spend time with God is in prayer and in His word and in His house and with His people. That's how you get to know His ways. That's how you get familiar with the kingdom of God. I started golfing a little while ago. I haven't been really going very often at all, but I didn't actually know the etiquette of a club. There's quite a hectic etiquette when you go to, I don't know if anyone's golf here, but you're supposed to take your hat off and, like, you know, all these things. I didn't know any of that. I just rocked up there with part techies, and, you know, I went to this Lani one. I was actually in Joburg, the Lani one, the Joburg Country Club or something like that, and I just went to go preach to the guy. I said, oh, you know, you have to have, like, the same color socks and a belt and, like, a hectic, anyone else? Anyway, I didn't know about this, but he knew that I didn't know about this. So he actually bought an extra change of clothes, and I got changed in the car park. It was very... What I'm trying to say is that when you spend time in the presence or at a venue or in the kingdom of God, you get to understand the etiquette of the kingdom. When you spend time with someone, you get to understand the sound of their voice. When you spend time with God, you get to understand the ways of His mind and the ways of His heart, and you get to know His voice. It says, when He spoke through Hosea, He said, go marry this promiscuous woman. In other words, what He was saying to Hosea was, I want you, this faithful man, to go yoke yourself in an eternal intimate covenant with this unfaithful person. You see, Hosea is all about an unfaithful people meeting an unfailing, all-faithful God. Really, I am Gomer. Now, is anyone's name Gomer here this morning? Just, Okay, thank you, Jesus, because I'm just going to be honest with you. Who names their child Gomer? I mean, her name shall be named Gomer. I mean, I don't know if that sounds like an attractive name, but it just, I don't know if a name can sound attractive. Gomer. Am I the only one that thought, when I saw the name, her name is Gomer, I said, Lord, bless her shame, you know, just like hectic. Now, my mom was here in the first service, and I exposed her, but she gave me the right to afterwards, because forgiveness is easier than permission. You guys know that. And so when I was young, well, my name is Dino, so when I was young, my name is Dino, and it's still Dino. But my mom told me my name, what my name meant, and she said, Dino, your name means strength. So I said, wow, that's amazing. What a name to have. She's like, remember, like, dinosaur, strong lizard. She explained this, everything, like, no, guys, like, this is legit. I can remember this, actually. We used to live in Sea Point, and I remember her having this conversation. Like, Mom, what does my name mean? Like, everyone calls me Dino the Dinosaur. Well, it means strong lizard. You're strong. So I used to, like a dragon. Like, that's how I lived my childhood. Dino meaning strength. And so it was only until I started teaching at, working at O'Connor House, I was teaching a life orientation lesson to some grade eights. And one of the blessings, one of the young blessings, just, and we had to, Google your name and actually find out the meaning of your name. And so one of these blessed young men, just awesome blessings of God, decided to Google my name. And lo and behold, Dino does not mean strength. What Dino actually means is little sword. Dino means little sword. My whole life I've been saying Dino means strength, but my name actually means little sword. So I can relate to Gomer. Little sword, Gomer, little sword. God is good. But we see so much meaning in a name, and I'll wrap it up at the end. But we see this picture of God reaching out to a person. But this is the pattern that God establishes from the beginning. God never sets one person free for the sake of that person. He starts with a person to set free a people. And so he's saying in this whole account, in this whole instance, Hosea, I want you to go reach that person because I want to reach a people. He explains that the reason why I want you to marry her, Gomer, is because I want you to reach a people. He says, I marry this adulterous woman because this people have become an adulterous nation. That's the pattern of liberation. What God started in Abraham, he gave a person a promise, but it was to lead a people. He gave Joseph a promise, but it was to lead a people. He sent Jesus one person, but it's to set a people free. It actually says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right through, made right with God through Christ Jesus. Continues to say in Romans chapter 5 from 6 to 8, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, everyone say powerless. Because if we were powerful, maybe that would have been an opportune moment for God to take advantage of our power, but he actually takes advantage of our weakness and finds us in that moment. It says, Christ died for the church. Christ died for the godly. Christ died for the good people. Christ died for those who tithe. What does it say? Christ died for the ungodly. Let's say the ungodly. He died for us while we were away from him. Think of the furthest part where you were at the deepest, darkest place in your life, when you were the furthest from God, where you wanted nothing to do with Jesus, when you knew nothing to do with his word, nothing to do with the people, nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with his promises or purposes or will or destiny or inheritance for your life. When you were running away from God full tilt at your furthest point, at your lowest moment, God says that I died for you at that place, not so that you could get to this place. He didn't wait for you to change your life. Notice that Hosea didn't wait for Gomer to get herself right. He didn't wait for Gomer to sort herself out and cleanse herself. And he said, no, he married her as she was. That's why we say as a church, come as you are. Because God meets us as we are. And it continues to say from verse 6, it says, verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, running away from God, had nothing to do with him, wanted nothing to do with his purposes, will, or people, Christ died for us. Now, it's important that we see this, and this is the beginning part of our revelation and walk with God, because we must understand it's nothing about what I do for him. It's everything what he did for me. That's Christianity. Religion says build a ladder to heaven. Christianity says Jesus came down to earth. That's what we hold on to. It's not my love for him. It's his love for me that keeps us in covenant. It's not, because a lot of things can separate my love for an object or for a person. Offense, unforgiveness, breakdown, a disconnect. Things can happen that can separate my love for someone else. But nothing can separate us from our love for God's love for us. Are you with me this morning? And so it's not my love for him. It's my love that I have in him that keeps us strong as Christians. And so God's painting this picture. He says to Isaiah, I want you, this faithful man, to go marry this unfaithful woman, because even when I'm faithless, God is still faithful. Even when I don't have any faith, my faithlessness does not impact his faithfulness. And I want to encourage you this morning. That's a great place to be. When you meet God in an honest place and say, Lord, I don't have any faith in my life right now, understand that God has all the faith in you. That he is for you, that all of heaven is cheering you on, that in this moment, God is looking at you. He sees you. Not a single day is hidden from him. And even when you are most unfaithful, he is still most faithful in your life. Amen. It continues to say in verse 3, it says that, So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Verse 2, God speaking. Did you get it? And verse 3, so he married Gomer. Have you ever got that update on your phone where you say, remind me later? Yeah. Okay? Or install later or update later, and you get that little icon on your, and that rainbow wheel of death that just keeps on, and you need to update. It's just terrible. You say, I'll install it later, and it's all these things. You just never get time to do that. How many times have we done that with God? Saying, God, I'll get to that later. I'll do that later. You see, we're never going to be able to change verse 2. God's always going to be speaking about reaching the lost. Maturity as a Christian actually isn't how close you get to the found, it's how close you are to the lost. Because Jesus came in Luke 19:10, says, I came to seek and save the lost. So intimacy with Christ must result in being close with the broken and downtrodden, the brokenhearted, the forgotten, the least. That's when you spend time with God, that's actually how you measure maturity, how close I am to where my heart goes for people who don't know Jesus, because that's where his heart's at. And so he speaks in verse 2. We can't change verse 2. Verse 2 is always going to be the same. Reach the lost at any cost. Reach the lost at any cost. There's a dying world that have come to seek and save the lost. The doctor has come to heal the sick and not to hang out with the cleansed. That's what Jesus said he came to do. But you can determine verse 3. We cannot determine verse 2, but what you do with verse 2 will determine verse 3. God spoke to Hosea in verse 2, verse 3, so he married Gomer. In essence, what I'm trying to boil down to is that delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. I want to encourage you, what's your verse 2 today? I don't know what your verse 2 is. What is God asking you to do today? Perhaps he's asking you to forgive that person. Perhaps he's asking you to join Growth Track and partner with a local church. Maybe it's not our church, but there are many great churches in our city, but God wants you planted in a local body of believers. Perhaps he wants you to start tithing or start using your spiritual gifts, or perhaps exercising more fruits of the Spirit, being more patient, kind, you know, merciful, gentle, more selfless. I don't know what your verse 2 is, but you get to determine this morning what your verse 3 reads. God's always going to be speaking. It's just us. Are we listening and are we applying what God's speaking into our worlds? Are you with me this morning? So he marries Gomer and she conceives him 3 children. Now these 3 children have also very special names. The first child's name is Jezreel. The second child's name is Loruhama. You have to say Chama. Everyone say Chama. It's Jewish, so we're getting really into the context of the scripture right now. So it's Jezreel, Loruhama, and the last child's name is Loami. Now, Jezreel means punishment. Lo Ruchama means not loved. And Lo Ami means not my people. Gomer had given birth to the fruits of the sin of the nation. And so the fruits of the sin of the nation was punishment, not loved, and not my people. But what God starts in a person, he actually has in store for a people. And you'll see by the end of the story, as he restores a person, as he restores a family, you know, when we are our strongest as a nation, as a city, as a community, it's not when the things and the roads are sorted. It's not when, you know, my city bus is running fine. It's actually when our families are strong. When God starts something amazing in your family, it's because that's what a strong nation, a strong community, and a strong city is built on, strong families. But he always says this pattern of liberation. It starts with a person and overflows to a people. I want you to marry this unfaithful person because I want to redeem an unfaithful people. I wonder if you'll be that person today. If God can start an amazing work inside of you to break things over a people, maybe your family, maybe your home, maybe your colleagues, maybe this community, maybe God can start something amazing in you and speak to you like verse 2, but will you respond in verse 3? So he went. So I go. So I did, because God spoke. Are you with me this morning, church? God's greater glory is always on the other side of your obedience. God's always speaking, but are we listening? He's always wanting to reach out to broken and lost people. Now, if I was Hosea, I'm going to be honest with you, a faithful man, kept himself all the days. There's no record of Hosea ever sinning. And he said, you know what, Hosea? I want you to go marry that unfaithful woman that never kept herself for you, never did anything. She's not even looking for you. You went to go sort her. I would be like, Lord, I think I need an upgrade. Like, you know, like, shouldn't I just get like a level vibe here? Like, shouldn't I deserve more? Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Saying, Lord, I think I deserve a little bit more out of life. Am I the only one? Lord, why am I in this situation? You know, those children that were given those names had nothing to do with the state of affairs that they received. They were just given a label. Have you ever walked into a situation that you had nothing to do with, but they labeled, you were labeled because of that situation? That business partner took the money and liquidated the company. It wasn't your fault, yet you now have a liquidated company. Or there was a relationship that something broke down and wasn't your fault, and someone, you know, was unfaithful. Or you get the label, but it wasn't your fault. And you're saying, Lord, why me? Why do I have to yoke myself in this situation? I have no choice in it. I'm reminded by John chapter 9, where the disciples are asking Jesus this question. This man is born blind. This is the first account where Jesus heals a man born blind. Every other time, a man had become blind because of illness. This is the very first time that he was conceived and he was blind from birth. And so the disciples ask an important question, said, was it this man's sin or was it the sins of his parents that this man was born blind? And Jesus replies, it was neither his sin nor the sins of his parents, but he is blind so that the glory of God may be shone in him and through him. The reason sometimes we ask ourselves the question, why am I in this state of affairs? Why do I have this neighbor? Why am I in this season? It's because God wants to shine his glory in you and through you. But it's not just for you. It's actually for someone else. You see, this marriage was a holy place, but God wanted to paint a picture, not just for a person, but for a people. You know, your breakthrough, I want to encourage businessmen right now to find young businessmen in the church. And I promise you, your faith, if God's ever come through for you in a tough season of business, you need to encourage someone else that because he came through for me, he can come through for you. Our married couples, I want you to encourage you to find a young married couple to mentor and say, if you're going through a dry season, the God who kept the fire alive in my marriage is the same God who can set the fire alive in your marriage. Because your breakthrough isn't just for you. When Paul and Silas began to praise God, it wasn't only their prison that broke free. Isn't that true? The Bible says that everyone got their freedom that night and the foundation of the prison was broken, which means no one can be held captive there again. When God breaks through for your life, and in your world, it's not just for you. It's so that you can let other people know the same God has set me free can set you free too. And so that's what God's doing in this whole book of Hosea. He's saying a faithful man yokes himself with an unfaithful person so that we can redeem an unfaithful people. That's the story of my life. I am Gomer. I am an unfaithful person who met an all-faithful Savior so that I can help an unfaithful people meet an all-faithful Father. And that's the gospel of Jesus. We need to pass this on to someone else this morning. I love it. Just this one person makes such a big difference. Romans 5:17, for if by the trespass of the one man, that's Adam, first Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteously reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It starts with one, but that's the pattern of liberation. It starts with one person, but it's actually to set free an entire people. This is a very precious truth, church. Now, if you've been in church for a long while, you would have heard the gospel, and this gospel is the good news, is the herald that Jesus saves and meets you as you are. But I want to encourage you, as a Christian, the gospel is not only for those who are still yet to believe. As a Christian, you need to hear the gospel, this gospel good news, quite often. In fact, you need to remind yourself that you are a product of the gospel. The Bible actually says it like this. He says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 14, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. through the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, carefully guard this precious truth that's been entrusted to you. Now, this precious truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that God meets you where you're at. Even in your unfaithfulness, he is all faithful. While you were still a sinner, he died for your sin. He redeemed you. The price has been paid. He's made a way for you to get to heaven. That's the gospel of Jesus. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says that precious truth, you need a guard. Now, what happens is that we don't guard something we don't believe someone will steal. I've got some friends overseas that say they can leave their doors open and they don't, well, I don't know about that anymore, but you know, they put it out there because they don't think anyone's going to steal it. The truth is, so many Christians come into a false sense of security. They think that the dirty devil doesn't want to steal the salvation, so they don't guard it. Now, I don't know why I know this, but I do know this. Can I teach you how to pickpocket someone? Oh, Lord, this is, the boss isn't here, so again, please come back next week. You know how you pickpocket someone? As you walk, they will brush you on the opposite end. So if your wallet's on this side, so I'm just trying to help some people. If your wallet's on this side, or your cell phone's over here, they'll brush you over here hard, and your attention's there, and they'll likely just pick it out. So you're looking at your shoulder, oh, and your cell phone, your wallet's gone. You know, that's just like the dirty devil. He's the great deceiver before he's the great accuser. And he distracts you to get your focus on something else. And then he steals your salvation out your pocket, and you don't even know it's gone. He distracts you. So that relationship, that business, that you think it's all a physical, it's a natural thing. It's not. It's a spiritual act. He's actually wanting to distract you to take your eyes off this great, precious truth that I'm saved by grace, not by works. It's not what I've done for him. It's what he's done for me. It's the gift of Jesus alone. Thank you, God, that I've been saved and I am being saved. The presence of salvation is in my life, this precious gospel. I'm going to protect it. I'm not going to get distracted. And the Bible's saying we need to carry this truth and have it burn alive in us, that we're an unfaithful people. Again, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, you're an unfaithful person who meets an all faithful, unfailing God every single time. The Bible says in John chapter 15, remain in me, outside of me you can do nothing. Well, the way that we remain in Jesus is remain dependent on him. I need to understand that the spiritual oxygen I breathe is found in his word and in his presence. Otherwise, if I think it's about me, I'll become prideful and walk away from his word. Are you with me this morning? This picture for a person is actually for a people. And then he says something amazing in chapter 2, verse 13. And Hosea is really explaining the state of affairs, not only in that world, but in our world today. What a great context. He says in verse 13, she decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. Now remember, Hosea was a real man. Gomer was a real woman. I can imagine him coming home from work, only to smell the perfume, the afterdew of someone who once was there but is no longer there. Perhaps he would listen to her come home late at night, knowing that she had been with other men, an unfaithful woman, yet he stayed in the house being a faithful husband. The truth is, how often don't we deck ourselves out with rings and jewelry for other things than other than Jesus, other than God? And that can be various things for you. Maybe you're decking yourself out with a relationship and you're thinking that relationship is your God, or that workplace is your God, or that income is your God, or that status is your God, or that level academia is your God. I don't know what your God is, but the truth is it will never fulfill you and love you the way that our God can. May we always dress ourselves for the King of Kings, because he's coming back for a prepared bride. And I adorn myself with humility. I just say, God, it's not me, it's all you. She decks herself out with rings and jewelry and went after lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. And then he says something insane. It's a good thing I'm not the Lord, because I wouldn't have said this. It says, therefore, in verse 13, it says, therefore. Therefore is a catalytic phrase, which means a trick is a course of action. It says, therefore, I will allure her, the Bible says. I will allure her. The Bible says, I will allure her. I will allure her. I don't know how to say it. I got it over here, so that's okay. It says, therefore, I am now going to allure her, and I will lead her into the wilderness, and I will speak to her tenderly. There I will give her back her vineyard, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. In verse 13, we see that she forgets him. In verse 14, he says, because she forgot him, I will lead her. Because she forgot me, I will remind her that I will never forget her. You may have forgotten God, but God has never forgotten you. He has never forgotten you. You know why? Because he cannot deny his own image, and you are made in the image of God. He cannot deny himself, and he's placed eternity in the heart of man. Ecclesiastes 3:11. And so this eternity-shaped hole can only be fulfilled by the presence and by the blood of the Lamb. And so when he sees you, you see, the problem is, this is what the dirty devil wants you to do. I'm just giving away all his game plans right now. He's probably really bummed. He wants you to relate to God. He wants you to believe that God relates to you the way you relate to him on a conditional basis. I see myself the way I see God, but that's not the way God sees you. God sees the image in you, his image in you, and he cries out from deep to deep. And sin covers the image for us, but it's not covered from God. God sees his image and he redeems, restores. You know, in each book in the Bible, there's a phrase or a theme that runs throughout. It's a common golden thread through each book in the Bible because the author wants to paint a big picture. The word return is that phrase, that word in the book of Isaiah. To return. You see it throughout the book. Return to the Lord, return to the Lord, return to the Lord, return to the Lord. You know, the Bible says that he gives us a brand new mercy every day. You know what a mercy is? A mercy is actually an opportunity to return. And what he's saying today is, I've given you a brand new mercy to return to your first love. You know, in Revelations 2:2, it says that, you know, he commends the church for their labor, but he says, you've forgotten your first love. You may be in church for a long time, serving for a long time, but he's saying, once you have a brand new mercy, a brand new opportunity today to return to your first love. And in this story, what he's saying to Gomer is, even as you've been unfaithful, I want to give you a new mercy, an opportunity to return to the all-faithful husband, the all-faithful father. I want to encourage you, God's saying that same message to you and I this morning. That even if you've been most unfaithful, that doesn't change his faithfulness. That even if you've forgotten him, he's never forgotten you. He says, therefore, I will allure her. I will lead her. And then he goes on to say that he will restore names, change these names that we spoke about in the Bible. It says in verse 22, and the earth will respond to the grain and the new wine and the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel, once known as punishment, now known as blessing. I will plant her for myself in the land, and I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. And I will say to those not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. What a powerful truth. That God starts with a person. It says an unfaithful person meets an all-faithful, unfailing God. And says in this marriage, in this person, in this home, you're going to give birth to some children. And there may be situations that you ask, why now? But God's saying, it's because I want to redeem a people. The situation you're going through, as you stay faithful, I want to redeem a people. And the promise that's on your life is actually for this people. Are you with me this morning? The way that we gain access to this in Isaiah 6:6, it says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. All we need to do today, if you're saying, Dino, wow, what an amazing truth, and it's dropped in your heart. The Bible says he doesn't require your sacrifice because there's already a sacrifice given. He doesn't require another burnt offering because the already final offering's been given. His name is Jesus. For so God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only son, that those who believe shall not perish but receive eternal life. He so loved first that he gave. He doesn't want your sacrifice or burnt offerings today. He says he wants the mercy of taking advantage of that opportunity, acknowledging God for who he is. Saying, it's not what I'm doing for you, it's what you've done for me. I accept this free gift of salvation. And if you're a Christian today, to acknowledge and bear witness to the saving work in your life, saying, God, if I've ever thought it was about my good works, if I ever thought it was about, Lord, I want to repent right now. It's always about your presence, about your work in my life. You know, I've been working in this church for 15 years. I've been in this church since I was 15, and I know I look very young. It's just because I stay in the presence of God and abound in many youngness. That's not even a great English. But I've been working in one of the local high schools, and been praying there almost every Wednesday morning for about a year. And I went there a couple months ago, and they told me that Saul, it's Afrikaans school, Saul had been postponed. So I need to come back next week Wednesday because I speak at assembly on occasion. And so I came back the following week Wednesday, and we usually pray before assembly, and so we go to this classroom, but then I got a WhatsApp. We got a little WhatsApp group and says, we're praying in a different classroom. Anyway, I read it, and sleep deprivation is a real thing, so I didn't really register. So I went back to the same classroom. I don't know if you ever do that. You know, open the fridge, you know there's nothing there, but you know, you just go there anyways. Please, Jesus, by faith, Lord, I believe it. Anyway, during the fast, I was like, anyway. So I go back to the original classroom where I wasn't supposed to be, and I pop in my head in the door, and I said, oh, flip. It's actually one of the teachers, Yifa Runal, is counseling a young girl. I said, oh, sorry, ma'am. I actually forgot we're praying in the other venue. Let me close the door. And I closed the door, and I went to the prayer venue. And in the prayer venue, Yifa Runal comes and knocks on the door, said, won't you come out? And said, listen, that girl I'm speaking to, I told her that you would speak to her. Would you mind speaking to her? Thank you for asking. Considerate. But you've already, so what am I going to do? You know what I mean? So I go with her, and we sit in her office, and she begins to tell me a little bit about her life. And she's awesome, and God's got a massive plan for her. So let's just give her another name. Let's call her Goma. Let's call her Goma. And she's in grade 10, and she's just come out of rehab. That morning, her dad beat her, and she walked 11 kilometers in the rain to school to meet her teacher, this Christian who loves her children. She doesn't believe in God, but she's drawn to the heart of this teacher. Teachers are heroes, amazing opportunity to minister. And I sit down, I begin to hear a bit about her story, and there's a lot of resonance. I'm like, oh, I've been through that. Oh, I left home when I was 15. I lived with other people. That's all these things. Wow, what a similar story. And I said, you know what? What are the chances? I wasn't supposed to be here this week Wednesday. I was supposed to be here last week Wednesday. What are the chances that I came on the wrong day to the wrong place to meet the right person at the right time? She says, you know what, Dina, I don't know God, but I did say something to the universe out there last night. I said, do you see me? Do you hear me? And do you love me? And I just said that morning, what are the chances that I came on the wrong play, on the wrong place, to meet the right person at the right time for me to tell you that God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Even when you're faithless, he's still faithful. Even when you've forgotten him, he will never forget you. He sees you, he hears you, and he loves you. I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you find yourself, God sees you, he hears you, and he loves you. He's always been faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate us from his love for us. Greater is he that lives within me than he that lives within the world. I want to encourage you this morning. That is the story of the gospel. That is your story. That's my story. I am Goma this morning. Did I ever mention what Goma actually means? The name Goma actually means complete restoration. What a powerful message that a lady that was trapped in a sin, God saw that person and said, I'm going to name her Goma, complete restoration, to restore an entire nation. In that day and age, that culture would have shunned her, would have looked down upon her, but the very lowest God raised up to the very highest to redeem a people. I want to encourage you, no matter how low you feel this morning, that God's saying, I see you where you're at. I see you, I hear you, I love you. I meet you where you're at. While you're still a sinner, I die for you. Won't you come home to me? So what we're going to do now is we're just going to worship for a couple moments. And I want you to connect with God in your own way. Perhaps there's words on the screen, that's okay. But I want you to, the Bible says, worship in spirit and in truth.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.